The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. It's one of our foundational texts when it comes to talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We go right to this passage, right to this chapter. John chapter 6 gives us everything we need to know about Jesus in the Eucharist. I mean, look, I particularly enjoyed this passage because I think some part of Jesus' personality is coming to life here. And we get to see it kind of leap off the page here, right? "I am the living bread. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Profound and beautiful. The Jews quarreled among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Do we understand their issue there? Has someone ever asked you to eat their flesh? Take yourself out of the pious spiritual category that you place yourself in to listen to the scriptures. And think about someone standing in front of you saying, "You're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want life." That's creepy and it's crazy, right? It's disgusting if you actually think that you're going to have to do that. So there's, for good reason and more, because they have all these kind of dietary restrictions as well, and it all plays into that, and there's even more opposition, believe it or not, to what he said back then than there is today. And you know, Jesus gives us what for here, you know? Like Jesus here, it's like, okay, guys, no, what I'm going to do is going to do this thing, and it's going to be symbolic, and you're going to have to, it's going to be pretty pleasant, and you're not really going to worry about it. That's not what he says. That's not what he says. And I don't know, I just love it that he kind of comes back and he doubles down. I don't know if he's ramming it home, or the sense that I get is that this is obviously precisely what these people needed to hear. But it had to be presented forcefully. And we're thankful now 2,000 years after the fact that it was presented forcefully. Because there's no doubt about what Jesus' intention is here, right? "Amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his..." This is when they're having trouble with it, right? He doesn't slow it down. He speeds up. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." That's one. Then two, "Whoever eats my flesh, then my flesh is true food. Then whoever eats my flesh..." Right? I mean, it keeps going on and on and on. It's saying this is fantastic. I mean, I love it, right? Because this is Jesus' personality. He's going for it. He's really going for it here, okay? So let's look at this in a context that at least that first audience would have heard it, and that is, say, the echo of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. And they're given bread from heaven, manna. And it's miraculous, right, in the sense that God is providing for them day in and day out, but they're not exactly experiencing it as miraculous because it's bland. And if you had to eat the blandest of food every day for 40 years, you're likely to start grumbling about it and longing for what you had before, which is what happened. They wanted the flesh pots of Egypt, right? They wanted their sensory desires to be satisfied. And they wished for slavery so that they could go back to eating what they enjoyed. I mean, talk about slavery, right? Now, Jesus here encounters some of the same, and maybe even more so, because Israel at this time, even though they have their own land, right, they're living in the promised land, they've actually been restored to their land, they would say that there were people in exile. So could you imagine living in what you know to be your homeland, but feeling as though you're in exile? Knowing that somehow you are God's chosen people, but feeling as though God is not with you. This is their plight. And Jesus then is leading them out of exile and the deeper exile of their slavery to sin. And he's feeding them in the wilderness. And again, this is what we see. When we see the Jews quarreled among themselves, that's this murmuring that we saw against Moses, right? We're supposed to hear that. And they preferred something else. So they wanted Jesus to be something else. Why? What? Why is he going to give us his flesh to eat? He's not going to. I mean, we're all gathered around to go storm Jerusalem and take it back and kick out the Romans and reclaim our land and launch his rule, his reign. What on earth? What on earth is this? Okay. Let's bring it up now. 2,000 years. Where are we? What do we hunger for? Because I think rightly so, we recognize ourselves as people, whether we call this our homeland or not, we feel to some extent as strangers or foreigners, or we are in exile in our own land, in the sense that we're just not satisfied. We don't live totally fulfilled lives. And if you don't believe that, right, then think about the fact that that very inclination in us is exploited in our society in any number of ways, but one of them, the main one probably right now, is that people sell us stuff by exploiting whatever that sense of being not whole or incomplete or whatever is. And so if you just have this, then you're going to be made whole. You're going to, you know, if you just have this, then your life is worth living. Or if you just have the, you know, I give the example like, you know, if you just grow a great beard, then you're going to have Martha really doesn't like the beard. I'm going to win her over. I'm telling you. You know, like if you just have a great beard, then your life is going to be, and actually I do, I somewhat still believe that, do you know, like, and but part of my belief is because it's elusive, do you know, like I can't grow a great beard. So it's like, but if I could, then my life would be complete. You know what I mean? Like, but if you have this thing or that thing, or if you pursue this, you know, another way is like, no, I won't go down that road. Okay, so you get the idea, right? That sense of being incomplete is exploited. And that's just one way that it's exploited. So we have hunger, and we feel like we're in exile, in the sense that we don't feel like we're at home. When we're at home, aren't our hearts at rest? Shouldn't they be? Yes. But we don't have that. We don't have it too often. And I will propose to you that the reason why we don't have it, and perhaps we don't have it in a lasting way, is that we don't know where to bring that hunger in order to find fulfillment. And the answer is right in front of us. It's Jesus. It's that simple. I had the crazy thought this past week. I said, man, I'm just getting down. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting down on myself and getting down on the church and all the rest. I'm just saying, man, we're going to have nothing left. We're going to have nothing left except Jesus. I was like, man, if only we could have nothing left except Jesus. You know, everything else seems like a distraction. It's like, let's just get Jesus. And if we had just Jesus, how much better we would be for it. And this is the answer. It's right in front of us. It's right in front of us every day. It's right in front of us every week. We have, yes, we have hunger. We have good, holy desires. We're made for God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O God. Right? We have it in front of us. Bring your deep hunger. Bring your restlessness. Bring your sense of being exiled in your own land. Bring your heart to God. Bring your heart to Jesus. Bring your hunger to him. He will satisfy your longing. The hungrier you are, the better. Because he will fill you with his food, which is true food.